My chief's brother, Roger Makonjola. I don't know why I see the vice chancellor in Ife. If I'm right, I think he's the vice chancellor in Ife. University of, that's Obafemi Awolowo University. He was the chief medical director in the teaching hospital before that. The hospital was the most efficient teaching hospital in Nigeria when he was CMD. I want to use his life to give us an example. What he used to do, he's a psychiatrist. They said that if he worked, I'll give an example. One day, because the kind of management he did was that you could call him if there's a problem anytime. That's why the hospital was so efficient. So one day, either a senior registrar or a consultant called him. And he was angry, like, sir, please come and see what is going on in theater here. They were in theater. That they just finished one surgery. They're supposed to clean out the suit, all right, so that they could start another one, something like that. So he had been waiting for a while, and the people supposed to clean had not come. So he was so angry, he fired a phone call to the CMD to report the situation. You know what the CMD told him? Is there a patient waiting? He said, yes. He said, if I come and clean it, will you do the surgery? The man said, sorry, sir. He dropped the phone. The CMD told him, there's a patient waiting, eh? Yes. Okay, so if I come and clean it, will you start your surgery? The guy got the point. He's not saying become a cleaner. But there's a patient waiting, you are calling me. Now, this is the thing, if they are Christians, they will clean, do that cleaning in church. Oh. They will do that cleaning in church. If that man gives you a query, God knows that you can't complain. Because if he gets to your duty post, maybe he gets to casualty. And they said the doctor on duty ran out to go and buy something. And they brought out the patient that's bleeding. He will remove his coat, all right? Scrub, wear his gloves, and start suturing while you are there somewhere eating. When you come back and see him, eh? The fear of God will descend upon your head. You understood what you are there playing. The man can walk in at 11:30, and you are not on your seat. It's not like I heard he got there. I know the funny thing he does, he will sit on that chair and be doing the work until you come back. You know, he doesn't have to give you query. Never in your life will you get up from that chair again when you're on duty. They were all civil servants. That's why I'm trying to explain something. But you know, we Christians, we have been taught to do that thing in church. He said, as a man of God, I'm not too big to carry chair. I can carry chair as long as it's church. Oh, late, hypocrite. Are you getting my point? You know, we'll go. We say, praise the Lord. And you know, I'm a very humble man. Though I'm a bank MD in my church, I'm just an usher. Can you do usher in your office? Because I have this wrong conception, you know, that one is the work of God. This one is not the work of God. I'm trying to explain something. All of them, all right, they are what? The work of God. Everyone. Every single one. That is why God is not judging you according to your faithfulness in church or in Kingdom World Ministries. Praise the Lord, though. You know, I'm not like Jessica that used to come late, that didn't used to do her usher work properly. I come on time. I roof the building, even though it's leaking and it's not my business. But you will not re-roof your primary school class. You know, Christians have a very, very bad reputation. They don't know they do. They can walk by that in their community, they can walk by a dilapidated primary school every day and build a cathedral next to it. To fix the school will not cost them $500,000, but they will spend $500 million next door to the school because that one is the work of God. What am I trying to explain? You know, this was not supposed to be our message. We're supposed to be working on creative power. But I guess that we all need this thing. Amen? I think we do. I'm trying to explain that, you see, you need what God uses to assess you, all right? That's what I'm trying to explain. Is those things that he puts in your hand. He said, occupy with this. I like that word, New American Standard. He said, with this. With what? With this. Listen, the destiny of the boy who is a shepherd. Are you getting my point? And the one who is a prince, Bible says, they is not affected by the fact that he's a shepherd or he's a prince. Are you following what I'm going to say? If a shepherd shepherds well, then I will make him a king, which is what God did to David. And if a king misbehaves, I can dethrone him. So God said, do you want lifting in life? Don't try and network with princes. And say, you know, I don't move with common people. I move according to where my vision is. My vision. Now, that's actually what I'm going to explain. Stop creating vision that God didn't give you. David would not have become king by becoming friends with Saul's people. No. He became king by becoming an effective shepherd. Do you get the point I'm making? Because it's God that lifts one up and brings down another. That's the point I'm trying to get across to us. He's the one that lifts up and brings down another. So it's not like, ah. Oh, God. I heard the story of one young woman. Of course, like, she, now me and you, they talk now. Yeah. Onyeka. You know, this really happened. Now, you know, people want to feel good. You know, I feel very good yourself. So, one day she went out with one chap, and his car broke down the way. And while they were trying to fix the car, she crossed to the other side of the road so that people passing won't see that she's amongst those who are inside that broken down vehicle. No, that just tells you a girl that's guaranteed to be poor in life. That is, you know, this is not prayer, this is not cause. That one, if she says, oh, I love you, say, hey, don't love me, Jezebel, don't just love me at all, please. Of course, you know such people. If somebody are driven up with a very fine car, you gladly enter. You see, you don't become wealthy in life by entering fine cars. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But there's another story that my pastor then, when I was in Lagos, told us in church. He went somewhere and he saw a lady. And he just remarked to his friend that this madam dresses heavy. She was simply dressed too. She was official dressing. He said, but this madam dresses heavy. And then he now started telling story. So his friend now said, ah, this madam, now, not now, those days, when E-Class was still like a year or two old, the man had one. He said, just said that, look, her husband drives an E-Class. So he said that in the, because of that, in the course of, while he was there, he now started talking with the woman, you know, and they cut a long story short. When she married him, actually, his car used to break down. That's why I'm telling the other side of the story. When she married him, actually his car really, 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 really used to break down. And in the morning, they used to do morning exercise. Why go to the gym when there's a car to push to exercise in the morning? Are you getting my point? An ignorant person didn't understand that it's not by hanging around those who are driving fine cars that you own one. It's by occupying with your broken down car until he comes with a brand new one. You get my principle? So, this is what I've tried to help us to understand. That you are going to go somewhere in life, all right? But the principle I'm going to be teaching about creative power, what I want to teach, you will use it, exercise it on what God has given you. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, I am not saying that, and you know, let me just say this one again. Sometimes people can pretend. You deceive yourself. You say, Pastor Banky says conceive. Ken Hagin says try. So you now sit down. And you start dreaming of things that you don't even know how to handle. Listen, that's what the Bible calls, we conceived, gave birth only to wind. Are you getting the principle I want to say here? That is when we're talking about occupying. It's important that that's using this power, creative power that I'm talking about. It's important that you understand that, that's why I've said all the things I've said, that each time there is something you are supposed to do, there is an assignment that you are supposed to occupy in. And that is where you use your creative power. Are you getting my point? And when you have used that effectively, then God, in his due season, now give you the opportunity to use it in a bigger level. That is, Joseph was occupying with all these principles as a prisoner. And then when God said the time is ripe, he now took him and put him what? On the throne. I hope I've laid my foundation very well. That's the second day of laying this foundation. Okay, let me just go on. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, for the time I have left, let's now go properly into what I call creative power. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Now, let's get down to Genesis chapter 1. This is where we really are now getting into our swing. The book of Genesis chapter 1. Now, we're talking about creative power. And I want to bring out something here that there's a process by which God creates. And anything that God wants to create on the earth right now, he wants believers to be the one to create for him. Are you getting my point? And, you know, there are many things that are yet to be done on the earth. There are many. And the ability to create. Now, there are different ways of getting results. Don't ever forget that. I've explained before that the world works. Are you getting my point? Apart from the fact that the world works. You can use the principle of the world and get some results, except that it's actually quite costly. You don't realize it. It's what God meant when he told Adam that you will eat bread from the sweat of your brows. That literally, you'll be converting your soul energy into physical material. But the power of grace is that you are getting results and you are not depleting your soul energy. Are you getting my point? You say, Pastor Bang, what do you mean by soul energy? I mean that life, you know, life is interesting. The word soul or life, you know, in the Bible, some of these things are actually spiritually quantifiable. That each person has a measure of life. You can convert out of your measure of life, you can convert it to material possession. It's possible. It's possible. In fact, there are people who steal other people's measures of life, all right, and make it yield material wealth for them, all right? Those who join cults and all of that, do human sacrifices to get money. And all. It actually works. It works. It works in an interesting fashion. Okay, but then this is the principle of Christianity, that you take the life of Christ, the power of God, and then it produces something that you take charge of on the earth and you are not depleted in any form. In fact, when your outward man perishes, the Bible says what now begins to happen is that it is from inside. The people say that the inward man is being renewed. No, that is from inside, from the inner parts, the outward man is being renewed day by day. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Because you are not using your own energy, you are using what? The power of God to create. You are using the power of God to administer that which God has already created. Therefore, the man can be 70, he can be 90, yet his eyes will not be dim, neither will his strength be abated. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because he has not used his strength to do anything. He's been using what? The strength of God. So he's old, yet his energy does not abate. Because what he has been consuming all these years is what? The energy of God. And that's what Christians must understand. And as I was talking about the creative power, the power to create that God has put down the earth for Christians to use. I mean, Solomon said that there is an evil I have seen under the sun. I have seen princes, all right, walking on their feet where there are slaves riding on horses. That it's possible for you to have a privilege and you don't use it. God can give you an instrument and you refuse to use it. You get the point I'm making? All right. Now, so those are the things we need to understand. So I want to now begin to talk about that creative power so that we'll know that this is what God expects Christians to use to get results. And that, don't ever forget, maybe we should just quickly refer to it from Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that that which is seen did not come out of that which is visible. That is, anything you see physically, where it originated from, there was nothing there materially beforehand. And that is why I said earlier, somebody who is a prince today is not actually, as far as God is concerned, all right, at an advantage over that who is a shepherd. Do you get my point? Because the one that will be king, the Bible said that will not come necessarily out of royalty, because that which is seen will not be made out of that which was visible. Please don't forget that. That's just a matter of fact. So how do we Christians get results? You will get results in life by using the order of God, by using the mechanism that God uses. If you read Isaiah chapter 55, God was explaining to the children of Israel, he said, listen, there are different ways of doing things. You have your way, I have my way. But my way is better than yours, is higher than yours. And I began to describe the way that he uses. He said, and I said, so shall my word be, you know, that goes forth from my mouth, all right, I will not return until it accomplishes. That you may struggle, you may stress yourself, but I issue words. Now, these are the two different ways. I speak and the earth responds and creates the thing, all right, that I want to create. But you, your way is very low. What you want to do, you want to struggle, you want to strive. He said, what you need to do is repent and come up to using my own method. Do you follow my point? Now, please, let's bear that one in mind. So how does God work? What is the method of God? That's what I want us to understand from Genesis chapter 1. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Now, and there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Now, please, I want to just rush over this so that we can understand, so we can get to a far place and then close on time. Now, this is another verse we should read, verse 9. Then God said, let the waters, I'm just describing another creation. He said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Then in verse 10, he said, he called the dry land earth and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Now, what I want to explain here, let me just leave. Because if you keep reading, if you go down to verse 12, you see that God created again and saw that it was good. And then if you read further down, at the end of everything, and the Bible said God reviewed everything and said, yes, it is very good. That is, everything put together has now fitted the perfect picture. Now, why would God say something is good? That's where I want to start from. The reason is because, now, is it that he's making a discovery? When he was saying that, let the thing be. Did he not know it was supposed to be good? Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. But this is the way it is. When you're saying that God says something is good, let's assume now that you have money and that you send a friend to go and help you buy a dealer to go and bring you a car, and you describe, maybe you don't give me a specific name. You say, I want a car that's well efficient. I want a car that is very beautiful, a brand new car. And you tell him the whole story, and then you give the guy maybe like 4 million naira, and then he goes to Lagos. He comes back with a car. Now, if he comes with maybe a Toyota Camry or a Nissan Altima, you know, stuff like that, and you look at the car, and the car is beautiful, it's fuel efficient, and at the end of the day, you look and say, this car is good. Now, what you mean by good is that he has fitted the picture that you had in your mind. Now, he may have come down with an S-Class, S600, okay? And you not planning to spend so much money on fuel. As fine and as luxuriant as the S600 is, the car, you go and see that, I send this guy, come and see what he did. He went and got me. He said it's fairly used, but the car is very, very good. You know, it's as good as new. And now, who could they pay the fuel? That's in the Gozulo. Now, there is a good car. It's a good car. Are you getting my point? But because that was not what you wanted, he has brought you what is good in the eyes of most people, but it has not satisfied the desire to have a fuel-efficient car. Therefore, to you, you have a complaint against the car. What am I saying? When God said it is good, it is because there was something he had in mind. Are you getting my point? And then what was formed, all right, fitted exactly what he had in mind, and he said, it is good means that this is exactly as I had it in mind. That's what he was saying in summary. Let me say this again. If you read verse 3, the Bible says, then God said, let there be light. Now, he said this after in verse 2, the Bible says that the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the problem. That is when I say problem now. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over this whole problem, all right? The surface of the waters. Now, as the Spirit of God hovered, God now said, let there be light. This is what I wanted to say again. God did not speak English. Don't forget that. God did not speak Greek. He did not speak Hebrew. He spoke no language that you and I understand. And in fact, we know he spoke no language, really, because language is used to communicate between two people, and there was nobody to hear him. You get what I'm trying to say? The Bible says everything was formless and void. So what earthly language did he speak? I will answer you, none. But that's not even the issue, whether he spoke language or not. What we know is that we don't know the one he spoke. So he did not say, let there be light, the way we say it in English. You say, but the Bible says he said so. Wait, listen, I have to read things in context. Moses was recording for those who know language so that they can relate with what God did. You get my point? Moses was recording that so that we can relate with how it happened. He was downloading it down from heavenly realms down to material realms. And when that expression enters material realm, when they are speaking English, it comes out as, let there be light. Do you understand my point? If you're speaking Swahili, you could have said something like, Hakuna Matata, you know, of course, that means no worries. That's really... But you are getting what I'm trying to say. So you won't say that they wrote the thing in Swahili. So how come the language is different? The reason being that it is not the letter, it's what? The spirit. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So when God spoke, the way I like to illustrate it, he may have blown like wind. Do you get my point? Now, but the point is that the earth heard it. The earth responded. What was contained in the blowing of God was the commandment for light to be. So he said, light be. Even without using the words in English, because something flowed out from inside him. And that's what I want to talk about, the creative power. This is how it is. The first thing that you do as a believer is to be like God. Whatever you want created outside must first be created inside you. The Bible said the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. What was it doing? It was brooding. The Spirit of God was assessing the situation. You know, it was not running away. The way normal human beings respond to troubled times is to escape. But what God does is to come back and assess. Are you getting my point? He does what in the military they call Reiki. He comes around, check what everything is like. And then as he's checking it, he says, no, this building should not be here. No, this should not be there. No, this water should not be here. No, this place should not be dark. As he's, get my point, as he's moving around, he's rearranging those things in his heart. Now, he keeps doing that and doing that now. This is how believers are also supposed to do it. He keeps doing it until suddenly, listen to this, he doesn't decide to talk. Oh, God, let me get this point across. An overflow happens. The thing erupts by itself. Are you getting my point? So it's like a rushing wind. It comes out of him. And because of the energy inside God, as the thing comes out, it begins to generate movement on the surface of the earth. Are you getting my point? Listen, this is the point I'm making. He doesn't just say, let there be light. That is why we have confessed and nothing has happened. Because we've used words that have no spirit. Are you getting my point? Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing, but it is the spirit that gives life. In John chapter 6, what was he saying? He said this. He was saying that the words I have spoken, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. Let's get this thing into real words and into, you know, current day expression so we can understand. What he said is that the words I have spoken, the letters of the words don't mean anything. It is the power behind them that matters. Are you getting my point? He now said the words I have spoken, they contain a powerful spirit, energy, or force behind them that imparts life in every situation they get to. Do you get my point? That is, it's not just speaking words. It's first brooding. And that's where I'm going to start from. A believer wants to create, listen to me, the first thing you will do is for that thing to first be created in your heart. Christians used to, we have been taught, not just Christians, it's all these, some of them, this worldly principle. Desire, desire, desire. Desires can be frustrated. Desire does not create anything inside you. It's just the beginning of the creation. Now, since something last time, I said when the Bible said that to him that believes, nothing will be impossible. There are two ways to read it. You can read it like, okay, once you believe now, you can do anything. No, that one is correct. But it's the second part. The second part is that to him that believes, he can't understand why it cannot be done. Are you getting my point? And you know why? Because in his heart, he has built up the process. He has gone to the position where the Bible says he's fully persuaded. Let me read that one before I close. Romans chapter 4. Please, quickly get there. The book of Romans chapter 4. I will stop with this and then we'll begin to develop it. Now, I was talking about the faith of Abraham. Now, how Abraham received strength and all of that. Let me just start from 18. He said, in hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which has been spoken. So shall your descendants be. He said, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. If you have an King James, say he did not contemplate his body. But check it, every translation gets it right. They say he contemplated his body. Like I was saying earlier, God came and looked at the voidness and the emptiness. He said the earth was without form. He looked at the formlessness and looked at the emptiness before he spoke. He did not deny the fact. Faith does not just close his eyes and say, no, I don't look at what is negative. You know what faith does? Faith opens his eyes, looks at what is negative, and from that builds what is positive with the word of God, and then he becomes fully persuaded. The problem when you don't look at what is negative is that one day the negative will stand in your face. Are you getting my point? You can say, look, Pastor Banky said that it doesn't matter whether NEPA works in Nigeria or not. Listen, if you want to build a business, you will sit down and check the cost of generating power. I didn't lie to you on radio that it doesn't need to be tackled. I only said that whether they generate power or not, you will still succeed in doing your business. Because God will give you a wisdom to make you generate your power efficiently. Do you follow what I want to say? Faith does not mean that no, I know that, no, they say there's no power in Nigeria. We won't even think about it. Say, sir, cost of power generation, take your time. Didn't you not hear Pastor Banky on Way of Success say that it does not matter? Listen, you know, don't hear me wrongly. Are you getting my point? You want to do business in Nigeria, you will look at the problem. You will stare it in the face. You go do, what do they call it? You stare each other like, let's say who will blink first. You know the way they do it. You say, yeah, let us start. Who is going to blink first? If the problem does not want to blink, you blow it in his eyes, it will blink. One way or the other, you must see the problem. That's the point I want you to understand. The Bible said concerning Abraham, he contemplated his body. He looked at it. And that's how believers get results. They don't just close their eyes and run away. They are not escapists. Are you getting my point? Then you have to say, things are too rough, they run. No. They will sit and say, there is darkness. They start hovering over the problems. Listen, before you begin to declare, before you begin to tackle any business in action and in words, you must spend time. You must spend time on not just looking at the problems, but understanding the problems. Nigeria's stock market is booming. It's booming. It's booming. It's booming. Listen to me. It is not the first to boom. So if you are working in that regard and you, as at now, have not understood why the American stock market crashed in the 20s, crashed recently, why the Japanese one crashed, then you are a mugu, an idiot. You deserve to fail. Are you getting my point? You should have asked yourself, why did their own crash? He contemplated his body. Please, we must understand that. He said, Nigeria's school system is bad. Pastor Banks said, we can do something about it. Yes. Then ask yourself, why did it decay? Where is it decay? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You sit down and find out where you don't just move around, you know. You know, I told that people who claim they have it, sometimes they are just blind people who have not seen the problem. Sometimes, some people claim to have faith. They really have not seen the problem. They really haven't. They think they have faith. Listen, it's when problems have stared you in the face that you know whether you have faith or not. And that's why I'm advising you. This is how Christians get results. They first look for the problem and say, problem, sit down here. Let's talk. Let us talk. Now, I hear that 9 companies out of 10 collapsed in the first 5 years. Why did they collapse? Do you get my point? That is why, to him that believes, nothing is impossible. Because before he believed, he understood the problem. By the time he started believing, he had overcome the problems. I hope you are getting my point. So when he's saying, I believe, he's not talking like, no, I know my God is able. No, it doesn't matter. Don't tell me about it. I don't want to hear about it. I'm a man of faith. I don't like negative things. When you give him one negative report, he gives you a positive one to show you that he has considered your problems before. He saw the challenges and he has overcome it in his heart by prayer and by meditating with the word of God. Are you getting my point? He has settled down with God and he has overcome. That's why, now understand why preachers tell you that a man that does not read will not succeed. That is true. Because how will you know the problems? Let me tell you. I started Kingdom World Ministries, I think in the year 2000. Was the year after I got married. No, 2001. Was I by printing tracts? Okay. Before 2001, name 10 ministers in the world, big ministers that had problems. I can tell you why they had problems. I could. The ones that God had given us their lives for us to want. That's why today, when I see preachers who are money raisers, professional money raisers, I feel sorry for them. Get my point. I went to preach somewhere. One day, man said, please, we need problems. I want, maybe you ask Brent to sow a seed. I told him, Oga, I don't do it. A friend of mine, I told him, the Bible said that when you come to our church, maybe if you raise money for us, we'll give you big money. I said, I love you. I love your wife. And I love my wife also. She must not become a widow. There are things you will not see me do. I have seen the problems. That's why you have never heard me beg anybody for money. Are you getting my point? I told you before, if we are owing Cosmo FM, and the money is not coming, I will walk to Cosmo FM. Although that will not likely to happen. Because what will happen is that I will tell God, this thing blesses people so much, I will personally pay it. I will shut down other things I'm doing with my personal money and channel it into it. But let us assume that I don't have the resources. I will walk to Cosmo FM and tell them, shut that thing down first. We are hindered. That's what Paul said. One thing I will never do is to become a money raiser. People do it every day. One guy you will never find. My drunken state. I don't drink. I don't use cocaine. But let us assume you manage to squeeze cocaine into my sugar. I mix them with tea. I drink them. Then I wanted to drink water. You lace it with kind. I drink them. You still will not be able to get me. Is that because ministry needs it? No. Well, Kenneth Hagin, how did I know? Kenneth Hagin said, God walked up to him and said, oh boy, be careful about money. He said, he returned to him and said, oh boy, be careful about money. And said, this is what has killed many of my ministers. And said, you, be faithful, obey your fulfill your ministry, receive offerings you are, like you have always received, and I will meet your needs. Don't ever worry about that. I learned the lesson. When I first declared, Billy Graham, why didn't he have problems in ministry? I have noticed it. Why did Jim Baker and Co. have problems? I have read it. Are you getting my point? Knowing it alone does not make me immune, no. But that is the first point. The Spirit of God hovered over the decadence that was in the preaching of the gospel. Are you getting my point? And it was hovering over it before it began to declare. I see preachers sometimes. He said, hey, like John Alexander Dowie said, he said, who's John Alexander Dowie? I said, you don't know Dowie? No. Okay, you know, in the days of Maria Woodward Etta, he said, hey, who's Woodward Etta? Okay. John G. Lake, I've heard that name somewhere before. Once it's like that, I know, say, you need special prayer and grace. He said, Pastor Man, must everybody know everything? If you're a preacher today, you have not read God's generous, you need to see a psychiatrist. You hear what I said? All these people are in God's generous. If you have not read them, you need to see a psychiatrist. That message was sent to the whole body of Christ in this generation. The people be doing things that they should. The Bible said their glory is their shame. That is, sometimes people are doing things they should be ashamed of. They are doing it proudly. Do you get my point? I've seen people say, one man said that, me, I don't waste time. I just go to the woman's house. I said, what money do you have? First bring money before I begin to pray, because I'm a prayer preacher. I understand that I use money to connect with the anointing. When he finished saying it, in my mind I said, his glory is his shame. That is what he should have been ashamed of. He's bragging about it on the pulpit. The Spirit of God hovered. Look, where were we reading? He said that. Now let me quickly get to my. We'll get back to this when we come back next time. Now we're really taking time. He said, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, now notice that, first he contemplated his body. While hovering upon that, he took the word of God to contemplate the situation of the body. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because he said, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. But while contemplating the body with the promise of God, he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, next line said, I'm being fully assured. I like King James there. He said, I'm being fully persuaded. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, the things you have learned from me and have become convinced of. That's the same thing you pass across to other people. That is, to become convinced, to become persuaded is a process of learning. Are you getting my point? And the Bible said that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction. That is, having learned the process, having contemplated the things happening, with the promise of God, you come to a position of full persuasion, full conviction. That is why to him that believes, nothing is impossible. That is, once the man has believed, because impossibilities, when you are explaining to him, it cannot be done because of this, he gives you the reason why it can be done. He said, but there is this hindrance. And let me just say to this, when you're talking about contemplating his body, you walk up to him, you tell him another one that he has not known before. He doesn't just answer you. He retreats back and say, give me time. Then he looks at it with the promise of God. And then God opens his eyes to see how it can be done. All these people that have built great enterprises, each step of the way, they knew what to do. I don't know whether you're getting my point. They knew where other people made mistakes, and they knew what to do to get results where other people were making mistakes. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. That's how they create. Let me summarize. I want to stop now. We'll develop from this particular point next time. Next time, I won't go over all those things that we said before, all right? We'll just continue from this particular point. Listen, the first thing, therefore, is this process of conversion in your heart. Because this is how life is. Life presents things to you as impossible. And then you have to be converted to knowing that it is possible. When you have been converted, are you getting my point? When you have been persuaded, then suddenly in your heart you know it is possible. That is when you say you believe. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Let me say this to you. That was why Abraham couldn't have Isaac in 25 years. It took that period to fully persuade him. Are you getting my point? Listen, if you have believed God for things, you've had hope, and the thing haven't come yet, don't worry. Just keep walking. You are being fully persuaded. Each challenge you find, each shortcoming, each disappointment is to let you know an area you have not yet brooded upon. Are you getting my point? You thought it will work like this, you walk like this, you walk like this. I mean, say, once I do this one, we'll just sell 20 units of that. You've started, you have not sold two. You will set, your business is not failing. There's a hindrance you have not brooded upon. Therefore, you have not spoken words. And let me tell you about speech. We'll develop that next time. When Bible says, God said, I told you they didn't speak English. So when it says, in real terms, God said, if an MD says, it's not just, let there be sales. No, it is policy decision. He will make a policy, and that is MD said. You didn't get me? It's not just, you can say that, and he said, go ahead, sell 20 million. That is good. But that is when God, the consolidation of all the power of God in a short statement is that. But when human beings who are not as powerful as he is, they have to slow down the processing. Having conceived in his heart, the first thing the MD will say, change policy. Now, we will not use this kind of distributors. We will use this kind of distributors. He has declared concerning that thing. I don't know whether you get my point. So the first declaration is concerning his distribution network. The next thing is that he says again concerning his pricing. Are you getting my point? Then he declares concerning his customer service. He declares that at the end of the day, he sells 20 million. Where people say 1 million could not be sold. And God said, that is why, listen, there were different levels of, and God said. And then at the end of this day, he said, it is very good. That is, each one was good. So when as an MD, I make a policy concerning our customer services, I have said one thing. And I look and say, this is good. Then I make a policy concerning advertising. It works. I say, it is good. By the time we finally meet our target, I say, it is very good. Each statement have worked together to bring out that which is very good. Listen, Christians don't struggle to succeed. They settle to succeed. Do you get my point? They settle in their hearts. That is where success is. That is what, once they have succeeded in their heads, listen, the physical things on this earth, they rearrange. Listen, when Israel was coming, mountains were shifting.